Regina Alexandria, 92.5 Greenwood Shreveport, K223BI, 98.9 Monroe, West Monroe, K255BT, 100.1 Lake Charles, K261EB, and KQJOFM, 99.3 St. Joseph, Louisiana, Natchez, Mississippi, and online at www.kaytfm.com.
Church. I'm Reverend Stanley Mathis, senior pastor of the Antioch Missionary Baptist Church, and you're listening to Paradise Ministry. Paradise Ministry is now brought to you by Robinson Mortuary. Robinson Mortuary is a family-serving family. They are located at 1850 Military Highway, Pineville, Louisiana, and their phone number is area code 318-442-7300. Join us now as we enter into a service already in progress as I preach and teach the Word of God. And these were the folks that should have been embracing him, because Jesus came to make disciples. And a lot of time, my brothers and sisters, that's a part of our responsibility, don't? And we are to make disciples, not members. We can make members and they never be a disciple, but a disciple, once he's been told and have been embraced with God's word, is to go out and make more disciples. And when you are hooked on this man called Yahshua, Jesus, you begin to make more of its kind. That's why you're called disciples. That's why you're called Christian. We make more of its kind. My brothers and sisters, there was opposition about what Jesus was doing, and the Jewish authority was wrestling and fighting with him, and due to the fact that it was prohibited to work on the Sabbath or Sunday, which we call the first day of the week. This conflict served as a catalyst, my brothers and sisters, for Jesus to make a profound declaration about the relationship with God the Father. And Jesus does not back down concerning his relationship from the escalating conflict, but instead speaks even more openly and directly about his unique divine authority and his mission. God has given us a mandate to preach the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And back down from nothing that comes against you. Because he holds pastors, preachers, and leaders, don't ever forget it, pastors, preachers, and leaders accountable, because one day we will have to stand before him and give an account of our stewardship. And I have to say, Lord, I didn't know. He said, yes, you did know, because I told you. And so regardless of the conflict and the opposition, we must stand on what God's word says and do what God called us to do. And God said, I will handle the rest. And I've learned to step back and let God show up. And, but here's my point. Watch out when God shows up. My God, our God is a powerful and an eternal God. And he does not make a mistake in the direction of what he's telling the church to do and go. Sometimes we don't understand. I don't understand why you tell me things. But God is the one who is the maker, the creator, the sustainer of all things. But God, he is the one who has reigned and ruled over everything. He knows tomorrow before tomorrow get here. He knows the outcome from the income. He knows what we will do before we do it. He knows the result of everything that will happen before it happens. He said, I just need you to have faith and do it. And Jesus knew the outcome of his destiny. And he did not back down over the religious leaders, the Pharisees and the Sadducees. They were fair, you see. But they argued, you see. And the Sadducees were sad, you see, because they warred against the Lord Jesus. I just played with words, because the Lord said, you got to have fun sometime when you're in church. Amen. Under the Mosaic law, We are told in the book of Exodus, the 20th chapter, the 18th verse, the fourth commandment state, to remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord God. Yahweh Adonai Elohim. I'm giving you Hebrew. Yahweh. The Mosaic Law was the mandate for the Jewish people. If we look at the Gospel of Mark, the 3rd chapter, verses 1 and 2, put it in your notes. You might want to read it later. We discovered how some of the Pharisees were watching Jesus to see what he would do on a Sabbath. They permitted and allowed healing on the Sabbath only if a life was in danger, Brother Gates. And this poor man's problem in Mark was not life-threatening and could wait until the next day. So if Jesus healed him, they could accuse him of being a Sabbath violator. And that was an offense punishable by death. Even if you heal somebody, the person could be in trouble and the person who healed them could be in trouble. And we are told then Jesus asked the Pharisees a rhetorical question. Pastor, what do you mean? I'll explain it. Rhetorical means to be persuaded concerning something. And what he was asking, a rhetorical question concerning which of these two kinds of action was really consistent with the purpose of the Sabbath and the Mosaic Law. What I love about Jesus, he always asks a question with a question. And when you ask a question, when people try to trap you, ask them a question and it traps them in their own question. So Jesus would ask a question, a rhetorical question with a question, in persuading them to convict them of their own answers. The obvious answer was, is to do good and to save life. Jesus knew that. But failure to use the Sabbath to meet this man's need was to do evil in their eyes. And what we gain, my brothers and sisters, from this is that the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. Oh, you missed it. The Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. What does that mean? I'll explain. This means that the Sabbath was meant to be a blessing rather than a burden. To those who observe it, in the Old Testament, the Jews' rigid tradition, not the Old Testament or the Old Testament covenant, taught that if anyone carried anything from a public place to a private place on the Sabbath, intentionally, he deserved death by stoning. That was the law. If you did anything, if you did any work, if you carried something from a public place to a private place on the Sabbath intentionally, he deserved death by stoning. It baffles me. Sometime, my brothers and sisters, we legalize God's word. And we place obstacles in the pathway that will hinder progress, growth, and development. Now we understand why Jesus said in Matthew 22, 37 through 40, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the laws and the prophecy. It comes back to love. The law was a taskmaster. And Jesus said, I'm going to fulfill the law that you will have to do one and two things. Love God and love your neighbor. By this you have fulfilled all of the law. We legalize it and we hold ourselves in bondage When we hang into the law, and I have shared with you, there's no salvation under the law. But grace. In my teaching, you'll understand it's God's unmerited favor. But grace is God's inexhaustible supply of goodness. But grace is God's redemption at whose expense? I'm waiting on you. Christ's expense. G-R-A-C-E. God's redemption at Christ's expense. Grace. God's redemption to bring us back from the laws of sin and death. When you sin under the law, you were worthy of death. Every time somebody sinned under the law, they were worthy of death. Lambs died. You had to offer a sacrifice. Blood had to be shed. But under grace, that was a lamb who had no sin. The Lamb of God slain from the very foundation of the world. The Lamb of God who came, as John the Baptist said, behold the Lamb of God who comes to take away the sins of the world. And he who knew no sin became our sin. And he shed his blood. Blood came from his side. Water, and I shared with Bible study. I said the blood covers you because something had to die. But the water cleanses you because what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. No lamb, no bull, no goat, not that. He said it was the lamb. A man who was born innocent to die for the sins and the transgressions of all mankind. And he didn't stop there. And he appealed to the Father on a cross called Calvary when he said, Abba, Father, forgive them. For they don't even know what they're doing. We sometimes think we know Bible, but we are combining the stuff together. And the Lord says, I need you to let that alone and accept the grace that I've already done for you. I've done the work. Now, you don't need to get out there and continue to lie, steal, cheat, and backstab. You don't need to do that. Christ will forgive us all for everything we've done. That thief on the cross was guilty. But he said, Lord, remember me when you enter into your kingdom. One simple action. Forgive me and remember me. And the Lord said, I got you. I don't care what you've done. I've got you. That other man was under the law. If you, there's that conjunction. If you be the Christ, save yourself and us. Jesus didn't have to prove who he was. He knew who he was. But he wasn't asking forgiveness. He wasn't asking the Lord to save himself. He was asking for himself to be spared. If, that's a contract, y'all don't believe you. If you are the man. The other thief didn't doubt. He just simply believed. And that's what faith is. Now faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. When we stop trying to see things and start believing things, then God can do exceedingly abundantly above more than we could ask or think. And we see in the second verse, it says, now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. Here we find a multitude of invalids, blind men, blind, lamed, and paralyzed lying by the pool of Bethesda, a place believed to have healing ability. There was a large number of disabled people there. And this is a picture, my brothers and sisters, of a sad spiritual trouble of the world. God is performing miracles. Where's Rita? God is performing miracles, Rita. Now you know why I'm preaching about miracles. I didn't know you was going to get up and do that. God did.